F2. Number 1B.
Think straight, think divinely, study correctly, as if it would be somewhere up here, symbolized. Then symbolized, you come to the second synonymous term, spirit, and you drop from the head to your heart. Symbolized. I speak here in symbol. Because with one's heart, one begins to love what one sees. One's spirit is worship. It's there where we begin to worship what we already know. It's the adorable one. It's there where we adore, inwardly adore, the spiritual idea, that which we already know. Spirit is that where we stand in awe before the divine idea. The divine idea as far as we know it already. It is that which is tender to the idea, which is patient to the idea, which doesn't push and pull the idea, which is affectionate to the idea, which just can value beyond words the spiritual value of an idea. Value it. That's all spirit. It's where we can cherish the promise of a spiritual idea. That spirit. In mind, we perceive the promise of an idea. We perceive what the divine idea can do, but that's the standpoint of mind, perception. Then let's go to spirit. Spirit can give birth to that. In spirit, therefore, we begin to cherish the promise. We begin to anticipate the promised joy. We begin to hope all things against hope. We just, if that point where we conceive of the idea like a mother. You see, when a mother gets a baby, well, she already sees him as President of the United States. That's what we have to do with a spiritual idea. The moment its first inkling comes to us, that's mind. We perceive something. Mind is perception. We perceive an idea. It's faintly developed. If we leave it there, it will never grow, because spirit and fault. Spirit and fault. So what means spirit? Spirit doesn't mean S-P-I-R-I-T. That's not spirit. Spirit is an atmosphere. It's a quality, a spiritual quality, which translated to the human is that which can adore, love the idea, hope all for the idea, expect all from the idea, which loves the idea, which puts the idea first in everything. That's spirit. And that has within itself the power of spirit to unfold. That's the birth. Then something happens. Then you will see and you will feel that something happens within you. And what happens within you is that the tone of soul forces itself on us. Soul that makes everything definite, that defines everything. It's that something grows suddenly in you where you say, oh, I got it. Now I got it. I'm sure about it. Now I know it. I know that I know it. And then you have arrived at the third. And this is the great initial law. Mind, spirit, soul as one. That's where everything starts indeed. Without this cornerstone of the matrix, mind, spirit, soul, nothing will happen. The divine law says mind is first, chronologically and eternally. Mind means perception, clear thinking, study, clear apprehension of the subject. But that's only mind. The law says mind, spirit, and soul are one. So we have to inwardly go to the stage of spirit and begin to put that idea first and foremost. Then that's the quality of spirit. We separate it, that's the second day of creation where we separate it and put first things first. Without that, there is no birth. There is no separation. A birth is separation. If the womb doesn't open, there will be no birth. The baby will be killed. So, when we begin inwardly to love it and be tender to this idea and cherish it and protect it and value it and be affectionate to it and put it above everything, then that's the tone of spirit. That begins to move the water. Spirit, Mrs. Eddy says, is the life-giving quality of mind. There is first mind, perception. We have to perceive correctly or nothing will happen. Then, spirit is the life-giving quality. Just when the mother gives life to the baby, when she lets it out, when that separation is made. So spirit is the life-giving quality of mind. But spirit isn't S-P-I-R-I-T. Spirit is a spiritual atmosphere. It's a tender, loving, valuing, worshipping atmosphere of consciousness. Nothing to do anymore with thinking. And then, if you do that, then the third day of creation where it says, when the waters gather together in one place, the dry land does appear. It's something that does precipitate itself on us. That's the dry land, the definiteness, does appear in us. It's something that begins within us to take form and shape and definiteness and identity. You can name it. It makes you happy. It makes you glad. It makes you to rejoice. It gives you that sense of satisfaction. See all the ideas of soul. And then you know that you know. And then you have started. Before that, we have not started. So that's why in the matrix, mind, spirit, soul as one, is the first cornerstone of the matrix. Now, I would like to take this subject of birth a bit in more detail. You see, I want to show that because what I tried to do this week is not to teach and not to lecture and not to inspire you. Don't be shocked, you would like to be inspired by me. I'm purposely trying not to do it. But I want to show you what I mean by it. What I don't want to try in any way or shape or form is to lecture to you or to preach to you or to talk to you. If I would think I could accomplish something in that way, I would believe not in Christian Science, but in some sort form of thought transfer. In the one mind, you can't transmigrate one thought, one intelligence to the other. In the one mind, there is one mind. And all what we can do is to contemplate and adore this one mind. So I can't put over something from me to you, saying, I know it, you don't know it, and what I'm going to do is I take what I know and put it over on you and try to do it as cleverly as possible. Now, I don't want to do that. All I want to do is to follow the divine order of mind, spirit, soul, which means that we start with one mind, and all what we can do in mind, from the standpoint of mind, is that I present the idea from the standpoint of mind. And each one who has the one mind knows what I am speaking about, it because the one mind speaks to each one. And then, what I would like to do is to show you the birth of an idea, the signs of giving birth to this idea. You see, if we take as the subject of the Sabbath school, say, the epistles, or the Christianity matrix, or in other terms, the birth of the Christ man within us, this is a divine idea. This divine idea I can present, but you have to give it birth. I can't give it birth for you. And so all I can show you is how you can give birth to this idea. My work is very restricted. My work is restricted. I can't do more than present. That's what Mrs. Eddy showed. You see that first, mind presents the idea. Second, it's being reflected. Well, reflected means that you take in this idea and give it birth. That's your job. I can't do it for you. But what I can do is always to show this science of giving birth to an idea. Because if I do that, you see, if I let God do the job, instead of trying that I do the job, if I let really God have a chance, as Muriel Nelson would always say, so if I let God get a chance, then you know that spirit, God's spirit, will do the job. Because Mrs. Eddy says always that spirit duly feeds and clothes every object as it appears in the line of spiritual creation. She shows that it is spirit God, not a human being, not a human teacher, that spirit God has in itself the ability and faculty to give to every idea the feeding and clothing, therefore to give everything to an idea which an idea needs as it appears in the line of spiritual creation. It has that wonderful ability that it will give to each one something different than a human being can do, namely exactly that which is adapted to each one's stage of progress and of each one's stage of unfoldment. Spirit does it. And she goes on and says in another place that spirit duty, that spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all thoughts. You see, therefore we can know, that's the wonder of science, the wonder of spirit really, that spirit will translate itself to each one of you. Spirit, not I and my clever ability to present the subject, but spirit. We can know that there is a fact in reality called spirit, and spirit is that fact in reality which says if we open our thoughts to the spiritual, then spiritual will teach us, will identify the right idea to us, will classify all what is said in the epistle, will classify it to you properly, and will individualize it. It will even be so tender that it will adapt itself to each one of you. Now, about birth. See, when Jesus was asked by Nicodemus how one could enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, well, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, if a man cannot think correctly, he said, if a man is not born again. He puts the stress not on mind, but on spirit. He saw that spirit is really the life-giving quality of mind. So to enter into the kingdom of God is really dependent on the fact, are we going to give birth to this idea or not? And then Nicodemus said, well, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Can he enter into the mother's womb? He could see that there is a womb, that there is a matrix, from where the completion of man's stature springs forth. He could see something of the matrix of immortality. And so Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can take this in two ways. This saying has its meaning in two ways. You can take it as mind, spirit, soul, or as work, Christ, and Christianity. Water stands in the Bible, as you know, for the elements of mind. So he says, except the man be born of water, if he doesn't first take the standpoint of the one mind and get the clear concept of an idea, a clear vision of an idea, and of the Spirit, there is a second day, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where it becomes definite. So he cannot enter into that definiteness of being, of soul, except through mind and spirit. That's the eternal order which the Bible teaches and which the textbook teaches. You can also take it, as we will take it during the next week, as symbolizing that order of the world, Christ and Christianity. Except a man is born of the world, the water as the world. The world is that straight flow of right ideas. And through the Spirit. In the Bible, usually, Spirit stands for the Christ Spirit, not so much for what we in Christian Science call Spirit. In many cases, especially in the epistles, the Spirit stands for the Christ Spirit. He says, except we go through the Word, accept the Word, and don't leave it there, as the Jews left it. First, if we don't go to the Christ Spirit and let our life be translated by the Christ according to God's purpose, then we can never enter the kingdom of heaven, Christianity. Christianity always has to do with the realm of ideas, symbolized in the Bible as the kingdom of heaven. So we see that really this birth, you see, is something that goes on within each one of us, which nobody can put over to the other one. It's quite interesting how Mrs. Zeddy saw that and explained it when she was writing to the students in the Board of Education in 1904. In that letter she said, we understand best that which begins in ourselves, not in the teacher. I just can't do it very much. We understand best that which begins in ourselves, and by education rises into birth. So it must start within ourselves. And if we can show the science of obstetrics and love that science of obstetrics, then we can give birth to this, to any idea within us. See, that's what the Bible always saw, that the promised child should always come out from one's own loins, never from a foreign element. It's always the Bible to see so often that the promised child must be out of your own loins. What they saw was that which Mrs. Eddy says here, namely, that it must be born from within and not be put over from the outside. Mrs. Eddy says, in regard to birth, she says, to one born of the flesh. Well, we must accept that we are born of the flesh, or we wouldn't be here. To one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. Woman must give it birth. It must be begotten of spirituality. She doesn't say of mentality. You see, that statement is so important because we want to know divine science. It's within our desire to get a deeper insight into divine science. But Mrs. Eddy says, but to one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. It must be a discovery. Apparently, each one has to discover it. And that's what we see more and more, that one just can't put it over to somebody. What we can do is to show the science of birth. And by accepting the signs of birth, we can discover more and more. And that's what you will notice, that whenever you do that, something new will unfold and will show itself to us. But it says, woman must give it birth, not man, not the male, not mind. The man element of man is that which has to do with creative intelligence, with strict, correct thinking, with systematic thinking. But that doesn't give birth to a discovery. One would think that intelligent thinking, clear thinking, correct thinking, would give birth to a new discovery, doesn't it? It doesn't in science. Woman must give it birth. You can prove that over and over again and try it out over and over again. And it does work. It is so. It is a divine fact. Woman must give it birth. It must be begotten of spirituality. She doesn't say of mentality. She puts again the stress on spirit, not on mind. Not on thinking. It's the spiritual qualities in us that can give birth to it. That woman sense within us that can give birth to it. That wonderful sense of conceiving an idea, of loving an idea, of adoring an idea, of valuing an idea, of putting the idea above everything, of taking on us any sacrifice for this idea, of protecting the idea, of swallowing twice just for the sake to protect the idea. That's the mother that does it. That is that which gives birth to a new discovery. So, Mrs. Eddy says, the new birth is not the work of a moment. It's not the work of a moment. You know, we would like to be the work of a moment, as quick as possible. Get it over. How can I have it like that? When you once investigate the textbook, you will be astonished to find how Mrs. Eddy points out over and over and over that the birth is low and not like that. An idea comes like that when it has gone through mind and spirit. Then a soul makes like that. So the birth is not the work of a moment. He says it begins with moments and with lots of moments. Begins with moments and goes on with years. Moments of surrender to God, of childlike trust and joyful adoption of good. Moments of self-abnegation, self-consecration, heaven-born hope, and spiritual love. Can you see all the qualities of a mother, the woman quality? She says, time may commence, but it cannot complete the new birth. Eternity does this, for progress is the law of infinity. Did I pronounce it rightly? Did I say eternity does this? Yeah. Eternity does this. For progress is the law of infinity. So, let's see that if we can pray together for this during this week, for this new wonderful idea of man, a Christ man, and begin to give birth to it, that it begins with moments. Now a little bit, tomorrow a little bit, and so on. But that it doesn't stop next Sunday. It goes on. It goes on. Whatever has been born to consciousness goes on for eternity. It unfolds, unfolds, unfolds. And so, the summer school will have on each one who has that motherhood sense and cultures that motherhood sense, will have an eternal effect. It's not over and then let's have something else. It's going on and on and on and on. An idea is eternal and we can't make it temporal. We can't pin it down to this summer. It's an eternal idea. But let's see that we give birth to this idea in a scientific way. That's fine. In a scientific way. You know, I have always been impressed. Right from the beginning, I read the Christian Science textbook by a statement which just at first was blank to me. Namely, that Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook, the time cometh when the spiritual origin of man, the divine science which ushered Jesus into human presence, will be understood and demonstrated. She says that the spiritual origin of man is divine science.